Good morning. Welcome on this cold, beautiful New Year's Eve and Youth Sunday. Just a quick announcement to turn in your bulletin to. There are still pumpkin rolls available for sale. If you would like to purchase any of yourself for yourself or as a gift, please contact Dottie Nagel or Tony in the church office. Celebrate the 2018 Super Bowl by donating soup and other food items for the sharing cupboard. Items will be collected in the gathering place from January 6th through Super Bowl Sunday, February 4th. Tonight is our youth lock-in, and tomorrow is our free community soup luncheon. We thank everyone for donating and for signing up to help. We do still need some volunteers to help set up tables at 8:30, so if you can help out, please sign up in the gathering place. Does anybody else have any announcements?
Good morning, everyone. I just want to say our ladies' Bible study, we've finished our session for the year. We're going to start back up on January 11th, I believe it is. The new study is on Max Lucado's Anxious for Nothing. So if you have not signed up and told me that you would like to come and need a book, please sign up today out there in the gathering place. I'm going to be ordering the books that we need for this week. Thank you.
Now we will be listening to Away in a Manger.
Rise for the call to worship. This is God's hour for good news. We come to worship, to experience God's love and forgiveness, and to find hope for our lives. In Christ, we become new creatures. The old has passed away, and the new has come. We bring our broken dreams and unfulfillment. We need feeling and release. The living Lord is here. Come, let us worship him and receive his power and a new beginning for our lives. Please remain standing for our songs of praise.
Thank you.
Let us bow our names and our heads in prayer. O God of peace, who hast taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be our strength. By the might of thy Spirit, lift us, we pray thee, to thy presence, where we may be still, and know that thou art God, thou Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We welcome you to this on this first Sunday after Advent. Today's Bible reading speaks about Joseph and Mary taking the Christ child to Egypt in order to escape the wrath of King Herod. Hear the word of the Lord.
Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus had reigned over Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene.
The story of the flight to Egypt is similar to the stories of how God protected the tiny nation of Israel. As God lifted up Israel and carried her safely through the impossible odds, so Joseph takes up his wife and child and carries them safely out of Herod's wrath. Joseph becomes a vehicle for God's tender and protective care for not only Jesus, but for all people. On this first Sunday after Christmas, thank God for his tender care in your life.
Let us pray. Wondrous God, your most precious gift was given on Christmas, a child of peace to troubled souls and dangerous streets, a child of joy to troubled hearts and cautious lives, a child of hope to wearied brows and oppressed peoples. We rejoice that as you cradle Jesus in the simplicity of a manger, you hold us in our weakness, you carry us in your heart, you lift us from despair, you look at us with love. We rejoice and sing your praise. Amen. May the children come up for a children's story.
Hi, my friends. Come on over here and have a seat. How is everybody today? Good? Maybe? Do you know what today is besides Sunday? What is today? New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve. You got it. All right, does anybody know what a New Year's Eve resolution is? A New Year's resolution, what is it? That's right. New Year is a time that people think that it's new beginnings, and we get to start all over again, and we make new goals. Very good. So we're going to watch a video now about that. So everybody has to turn around. Let's turn around and look at our video.
Happy New Year!
How do we celebrate New Year's?
By staying up all night long, and we get sparkling cider. Some people stay up till midnight. I fell asleep a lot.
What happens at midnight?
The ball in New York City drops. Everybody's happy. We celebrate. It's weird when we have to K-I-S-S kiss. Gross.
What are your New Year's resolutions?
I have sweets all the time.
A backflip. Change my name to Sparkly.
Every week, a movie night, a game night, and a Gilligan's Island night.
Have lots of time with my grandparents.
I would like to try wasabi.
I like to get a unicorn and bunnies.
What's the thing you want to do most with your life?
Want to be the NFL kicker,
be the best cellist in the world, and be the best Lego builder in the world.
Going to all the continents.
A missionary.
You want to ride a deer?
Pharmaceutical rep, because that's what my dad does.
Have, like, cool bedroom with, like, cool posters and a hot tub and a ladder with closets and have, like, a secret lab.
I want to get married to Kian. It would be a pony wedding with lots of ponies and have girls, Maddie and Madison.
Why is it not good to give up?
Then you'll never achieve what you could.
Even if you have some rough times, you don't give up. You keep going.
Someday you will get it. Don't ever say you can't get it.
If you give up, you might be missing out, because one day you will get it. And it'll be really awesome when you do.
How can you help someone to not give up?
Encouraging them, giving them advices for stuff.
Say, you're doing a good job.
I like to hug people and kiss them. And I'll give them a toy.
Then I'll say, I'll be your best friend. So, come on. Since I can do it, then I will teach you how to do it.
Why does God change us?
Because he loves us.
He loves us so much.
He knows that we need to be changed sometimes, and he wants us to have a better life.
He doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to come home to him.
How does God change us?
Puts all the good things in our hearts.
He changes us by giving us something to believe in.
Why is it important to give someone a second chance?
When you're giving someone a second chance, you're trusting them and believing in them.
So that we're, like, not caught up on something that we've done. We can't really move on.
To have a new beginning.
What would you tell someone who didn't believe God could change them?
That Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
And he can change you because he's Jesus.
Keep praying and he will change you. You will feel it.
Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
All right. Wasn't that a cool video? Yeah. So, what did we learn? We learned that through God, we can get second chances. Right, Brayden? Yes. Yes, we can. Now, Aspen is going to read our scripture for us today. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17.
So from now on, we don't look at anyone the way the world does.
At one time, we looked at the Christ in that way, but we don't anymore. Anyone who believes in Christ is a new creation, then old is gone. The new Christ has come.
Yeah. The new has come, right? The new has come. That's what New Year's are for. So when we believe in God and we know that there's something to change, we can repent and ask God and he'll help us change, right?
Yes.
Yes, right? Okay, so let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes, repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for New Year's. Thank you for second chances. Be with us throughout the new year. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, if you are three and under, I believe you can go to nursery. Everyone else can go back to your seats.
If you all would like to turn in your bulletins, the offertory statement is in there. Matthew 2:11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with the gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Would the ushers please come forward? Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. At your table we present this money, symbol of the work you have given us to do. Use it, use us, in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen. Matthew 2:1-12 says, After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? He saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chiefs, priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judah, they replied, For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented them with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Good morning.
So we have a video to show you of our skit. Some of our members of the youth could not be here today, so we just taped them.
we didn't want them left out of the service this morning. So the skit, let me give you a little bit of background. It's all themed around the question of what if Jesus was born today? And what would people think about that? The mystery of the baby being born of a virgin. And so think about all those different real crime shows that you watch, the Hardline Evidence or CSI, those kind of things. So what would people say if what Jesus was born today? So enjoy Dateline in Bethlehem.
Breaking news. Tonight from the Capital District, where there seems to be rumors of a new king being born. Reports show that a man named Joseph and his wife Mary have had a new baby boy. And get this, folks. He claims that he is the son of God. Yes, you heard it correctly. Joseph is not the baby's real father, but God himself. We go to our top reporter now.
Viewers, we are live in Bethlehem bringing you breaking news of Savior's birth. I'm here with Josie. Josie, you're working in the area, right?
Yes, bah! I suffer this. I keep walking in trouble with rocks.
How did you find out about the baby?
Angels of the Lord appeared to us. There's a light like the glory of God.
Have you ever seen the glory of God?
No, but Matthew was like, the angels and all.
What did the angel say?
Fear not, I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord.
And by the town of David, he meant?
Bethlehem. It was always known as David's town. The angel said, this will be assigned to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
A manger? A feed bin for animals? Didn't you think that odd, the Savior and the Lord lying in a feed trough?
I was a bit overwhelmed and didn't fully analyze it at the time.
Are the angels still out there singing?
No, they went back to heaven. So I suggested we go to heaven and see this thing that has happened.
What happened then?
We hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, just like the angel said. After paying our respects, we went to Bethlehem and told them the good news.
How did they react?
Amazed. We have been looking for the Messiah for so long.
Thanks for your input. Now back to our news center.
To further comment on this, we have a guest in our studios who's an expert on Jewish law. Thank you for coming. So what do you think about these shepherds?
Here are some men who, by the very nature of their work, were hardly able to keep the law of Moses regarding ceremonial washing and all. Yet, when the news came, they praised God and shared it with others.
You don't think it's rather odd that the news didn't come to the religious leaders first?
Yes and no. Shepherds have always been close to God's heart. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all shepherds. God trained Moses to lead with a 40-year stint as a shepherd. But the most famous shepherd, King David, was not only a man after God's own heart, but he was the forefather of the Messiah.
So you see some historical reasoning for shepherds to hear the news first?
Yes, I do.
Let's go back to our reporter now.
I'm live at King Herod's palace with General Joab. General, how's the king taking the news?
Not well, I'm afraid. He's pretty jealous of his throne.
I remember back when he suspected some family members were vying for power. Didn't he have some of them executed?
Yes, King Herod would not tolerate treason.
This is your king. If any of you know where this baby is, report it to me immediately. That's because I, too, want to worship him.
You aren't concerned that this Jesus could be a rival king?
Of course not. I am secure in my wealth and power and my luxuriousness lifestyle. I'm in control here and intend to stay in control. So if any of you viewers have any information on this baby, drop by my palace. You will be richly rewarded. And if you happen to see some strange magi type from the east, I'd like information on them as well.
Wow, what do you see happening here?
A man afraid of losing his throne. His reaction when the Magi failed to return shows us how deep his fear is.
in the slaughter of all those innocent babies.
Obviously, he didn't want to take any chances. He didn't know the exact time and date of the star's appearance. Now, this is just speculation, but I think he might have been trying to eliminate the child of Zachariah and Elizabeth, named John, as well.
So, people are anticipating this child also to do something out of the ordinary?
Yes, Herod called together those of us who were teachers of the law and the chief priests. The subject could have come up.
So why would Herod want John executed?
Herod may have been thinking killing them both would make his throne more secure. Herod was all about self-security, if you notice. Herod pretended to want to worship the child. He met with the Magi. Secretly to ask what time the star appeared. I think we can see by his actions the self-centeredness leads to death.
I think we can agree that selfishness is never a positive trait. Now I'm getting word that our reporter has a special interview for us. The location is secret, and the woman is veiled to hide her identity for reasons that will become apparent.
I understand you have agreed to speak on behalf of your group only if you can remain anonymous. Do you fear for your life?
No, not my life. The life of another who is destined to change history, the one foretold.
Tell us what you can about yourself.
I am the wife of a servant of Magi from the east. Our caravan has been following a star.
And the star was leading you to?
The King of Jews.
King Herod?
No, one far more important than that fox. We came to worship the King of Kings, to bring him our gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Do you find this king?
Yes, but that is all I can say. The dream forbids more.
What dream? Well, there you have it. Back to you in the news center. I will be joining you there shortly.
Thanks. That was a short interview, but I'm sure that we can glean a lot of things from it. What I'm wondering is, how do these astrologers know a star would lead them to the King of Kings?
This is pure speculation, but I suspect they were descendants of either Daniel or people of Babylon and Persia who worked with him. Daniel was a supervisor who had proven himself and his God superior to theirs time and again.
As an outsider, as the Easterns were, wouldn't they have stuck out like a sore thumb and have been easy to trace?
They defied King Herod by returning him home another way. They showed great courage. The governor called for a census for the entire Roman world. The place was pretty crowded with people all over returning to their hometowns to register. Plus, they were wealthy and wise men. They could have easily arranged for disguises.
There was some talk about them being warned in a dream as well.
I see other parallel with David. Just a short diversion, if I may.
All right, but we're running out of time. Please make it short.
David was told to build an altar on another man's property to worship God and stop a deadly plague. When the owner offered it to him for free, David refused, saying he would not give an offering that cost him nothing.
And how does this tie in with the Magi from the east?
Worship leads to giving. They came not as speculators wanting to view history as it unfolded, but as worshipers who wanted to give. It is hard to express love without giving. True worship leads to giving of one's man and self.
Now it's come time for our final comments. Let's start with you. What did you conclude with the interview?
I think they show that this Jesus is someone unique and to transcend racial and cultural differences.
And you?
I think we see there is hope leads to fulfillment. We all have hopes for the future. When our hopes are granted in the Word of God, we can count on them to be fulfilled.
Herod's reaction teaches us that self-centeredness leads to sin and death.
The shepherds teach that praise leads to the witnessing, and the Magi show us that worship leads to giving.
Thank you both. And we thank you for tuning in. God bless and good night.
Bye.
Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here on the day before a new year. And I want to thank the youth for providing our worship services this morning. You saw the scripture text this morning, that page read from Matthew 2, 1 to 12, so I will not read through that. In your bulletins, you'll have an insert this morning that you can pull out while we have our message this morning. The youth did a great job of describing what I'll be talking about this morning, which is the wise men and the magi and the baby Jesus. But before I begin the message, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship. As the scripture says, Lord, when the people saw the Christ child, they fell down and worshiped him. And that's what we're doing this morning, Lord. We pray, oh God, that you would just help us to know what it means to truly worship you in spirit and truth. And I pray now that you guide every word that I speak and the meditation of my heart, that Jesus Christ should be uplifted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can keep your Bibles handy this morning as we look at Matthew 2, 1 to 12. And since today is New Year's Eve, I thought I'd want to begin by talking about one of the top 10 news events for 2017. You know, I was watching Fox News last week, and they listed the top 10 news events for 2017. And one of those events, we all remember, was a solar eclipse on August 21st. Remember that? The solar eclipse? It was called the Great American Eclipse. Many of us saw this solar event. It drew many people outside. Many people called off work so that to go out and look at the eclipse. Many pictures were taken of it, and it was a big, big news event. And this same solar event is what drew the wise men to Jesus. Although no one really seems to know exactly what the wise men saw in the sky. But they saw some solar phenomenon, as I call it. Let's look at the text in Matthew 2, 1 to 2, where it says in your Bibles, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Now let's look at that. If you look at verses 9 to 10 later on, the Bible says that this star of the east went before the wise men until it came and stood over where the young child was. In other words, the star moved. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now, the star of the east became known as the Star of Bethlehem, as we know it. Some people would ask, how did the star move? How did the star move? Well, many scholars scratched their heads, many biblical scholars, they scratched their heads thinking what the wise men might have seen. Some believe that they saw a supernova or a conjecture of the planets of Jupiter and Saturn. Or maybe they thought it was Halley's Comet. But if you look in your text, if you look in your inserts, the first point, when the wise men saw the star, they knew that God was up to something. When the wise men saw the star, they knew that God was up to something. Whatever it was something that the wise men never saw in their studies of astronomy. And it caught their attention. And they knew that God was up to something. Something that no human being could explain. But the wise men were willing to travel many, many miles to find out what this was. And sometimes we ask that same question. What is God up to these days? What is God up to? Now, who were these wise men, or as some call them, the Magi? Well, first of all, the wise men were a group of men who served the kings in the Bible. They were originally, they came from Persia, they came from the Persian Empire, and they served as teachers and instructors for the king. They studied the constellation of the stars. Now, an example of how they served the king is in Daniel, where King Nebuchadnezzar asked the wise men to interpret his dream. So that's how they served him. But the wise men were not just ones who studied the stars. They were also men of holiness and wisdom. They believed that God is above the stars. They believed that God was the author of astronomy. And they believed that God was the miracles, the God of the miracles, which we can't explain. And so the wise men, in your inserts, the wise men were led to Jerusalem. The wise men were led to Jerusalem. And why Jerusalem? Well, Jerusalem was a public place to worship God. The wise men knew the scriptures. They knew about the prophecies concerning the birth of Jesus. They knew all about the prophecies about the coming Messiah. And the people looked to the wise men in order to find answers from God. And so one thing we need to know is that everyone at this time was waiting for God to come. If you remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about during this time when Christ was born, God was silent for 400 years. There weren't any prophets. God was silent. There's all kinds of turmoil happening in the world, and God was silent. And therefore, people were waiting for God to speak. They were waiting for God to come. And there was an expectation of God. They wanted to see God. People wanted to see what God was up to and how he could help the people. They were waiting for their Messiah. They're waiting for someone to show them who God is. Now let's look at King Herod. We saw a clip of King Herod this morning in the video, so you kind of have an introduction. But Matthew chapter 2, verse 3 says, when Herod the king heard this, that is the news that Jesus was born, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now, as you saw, Herod was one powerful man, but he was also extremely jealous and extremely phobic of his power, okay? He was someone who abused his power over the people. And when the news came to him about the coming of Jesus as Messiah, he felt threatened. But Herod's world was all about politics and his career as a ruler of Judea. Now, nothing much has changed today. This kind of political drama, as I call it, this kind of political scene dominates our world today. I mean, just watch the news, listen to the news. All around the world, people want power. Groups of people want power. Nations want power. People are power hungry. The world has always had corrupt and powerful leaders and nations and groups. And as the people were looking for God to break through when Christ was born, we are looking for God to break through today, because we must admit that God needs to break through our world today. We need to hear from God today. As I studied this text from Matthew, one thing is clear, and I mentioned this on the candlelight service Christmas Eve. Jesus was born at a time when there was a lot of political turmoil. Jesus was born during a very dangerous time. But listen to this. If you were someone who knew Jesus, you did not feel threatened at all. You did not feel threatened. In fact, if you were someone who knew Jesus, you had joy in your hearts. Now think about this for today. No matter what circumstance you face, no matter how much of a dangerous world we live in, nothing or no one can take away the faith commitment that you and I have in Jesus Christ. Nothing can take that away. One of my favorite texts, if you want to turn there, Romans 8:38-39. Romans 8:38-39 talks about that power that we have in the faith of Christ. Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now just think about what Paul's saying there. What does that mean for us today? That tells you that when Satan throws something really bad in your life, all you have to say is, "I have Jesus in my life, and Satan, you can't take that away from me. You cannot." And I believe that we can all think of something that happened in our lives where we're faced with this question, "What's this going to do to me? What's this going to do to my faith? Will it draw me closer to the Lord, or will it draw me further away from God?" Now look how the wise men dealt with their situation. Look how the wise men handled this tension from King Herod. Now, as I said, Herod was this evil dictator. He ordered the wise men to search for Jesus. In other words, he was really telling the wise men to do his dirty work. Okay? He ordered them to fulfill his evil plot to destroy Jesus. What did the wise men do? Well, they rejoiced when they saw the star and they worshiped Jesus. That's not what Herod wanted, by the way. And they gave Jesus these expensive gifts. You know, the wise men could have easily obeyed Herod, but they didn't. They went with Jesus. And we can see how God's hand was guiding the wise men. You know, when you go with God, it's not always going to be the popular way. And believe me, what the wise men did in following the star was not the popular way. I mean, how many people you think would have thought, "Where are you going?" "Well, we're just following a star that's moving." What would they think of that? Wouldn't have been popular. How easy it could have been for the wise men to go along with the crowd who simply obeyed Herod because of his order and not take a risk. They thought, well, what Herod says, it must go. So the wise men did not take the popular stand. Instead, they went with God and his standards. I remember there was a time when I was a freshman in college, my first year of college. I began my studies at Montgomery County Community College in Norristown, near my hometown. I took an English class, and this, of course, is a secular college that I went to. It was a community college. I took an English class, and the instructor used foul language in his class. I can't even repeat the words that he would say in class. And one day, he asked this question to all of us in the class. He asked us, "Would you be offended if I say the words blank, blank?" I can't even say them. They're too offensive. And out of all the 20 or so students, I was the only one to raise my hand because I didn't want to hear it. I didn't think it was right for anybody to say those words, let alone a college instructor. And I couldn't believe it. After class, I was shocked. I asked one of my fellow students, I said, "Doesn't this instructor bother you because of his language?" He says, well, you know, he's kind of weird, but that's kind of the way he is, and that's kind of the way things go. Another student says, yeah, you know, he doesn't make any sense, but that's just kind of the way things are. No one was standing up for morality. No one sometimes wants to take the stand for God's standards. Now, this is why the Bible tells us this about Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 10, if you want to write this reference down, talks about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Now think about that. The world did not know who Jesus was when he was born. Later on, John chapter 1, verse 11, says even his own people didn't know him. His own people didn't know Jesus. So the wise men were not taking the popular approach by following the Christ star, but they went even further. If you look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They worshipped Jesus. They worshipped him. Now, think what that must have been look like. Think what would that look like. Here are these three wise men, educated, holy men of wisdom. I'm sure you can probably picture what they look like. But here they're bowing down and worshiping a baby. Think that what that would have looked like. These men of high stature, ones that serve the king, ones that give answers to all of the questions that we can't answer, were humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God and worshiping Jesus. Were they concerned about what they'd look like doing that? No. Were they concerned about what other people might think of them while they bow down to worship? No. Why is that? And this is in your insert sheets. Because when we worship God, it's not about ourselves. It's all about Jesus in your life. We need to remember that. What does that mean when it comes to worship? It means that we as a church should never divide ourselves over worship styles, whether it's contemporary music or traditional hymns. Both of them are great. They are both styles of worship. We are worshiping the Lord, and we should never divide ourselves over any styles of worship, whatever it is. Now look what else the wise men did. They went even further. They gave their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three very expensive gifts. But it's not the monetary value that's important with these gifts. It's what they symbolize. Well, think about that. What does gold symbolize? Gold symbolizes kingly power in honor of Jesus Christ as newborn King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Frankincense symbolizes Jesus' divinity. His divinity means that he will perform miracles. He could perform miracles like no man can do. And myrrh. Myrrh symbolizes his death and embalmment. That's what they use to embalm dead bodies. That means that if Jesus would not have died, he could not be resurrected from the dead to provide salvation for all who believe. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh all point to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the wise men worshiping the newborn king, and so should we. But there's also an assurance that when we go with God, we can be assured that we are on the right path with God. That's another thing we see in the text. When we go with God, we can be assured that we are on the right path with God, that God will lead our way. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. Look what it says. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Mary and Joseph here. God was preparing the way for Mary and Joseph. He was protecting the Christ child. God protects our ways when we are obedient to Him. He lays the right path for our future. That's what He does. Think how God is preparing your way in the future. That's a good question to ask on New Year's Eve tonight. How is God preparing your way in the future? One thing we need to know, however, there needs to be some sacrifice on our part. Think of the sacrifices that were made in worshiping Jesus. One, well, Mary and Joseph sacrificed many, many miles by walking. The wise men overcame the threats of Herod. That was their sacrifice. And they all did this by being obedient to God and His ways, by making the sacrifice to worship Jesus, because that's another thing we do. We sacrifice our time, we sacrifice ourselves to worship the Lord. So that leads to something that I think we all need to do for 2018. Now, we looked at New Year's resolutions. You know, many people at this time set New Year's resolutions. Now, I'm not really into New Year's resolutions, okay? Now, I think that if you make New Year's resolutions, that's fine. If you want to become a better person, that's fine. Nothing against that. But many times we forget New Year's resolutions, don't we? And I know that if I would make a New Year's resolution, I'd probably forget it the next day. I probably would. Now, there is one that I'm going to do. You know what it is. I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm going to work out. And this, I'm not going to be phony about it. It's going to happen, all right? It's going to happen. Because for some reason, ever since I moved here, I put on 15 pounds. Thank you, Pennsylvania Dutch food. And these pants this morning are so tight, I couldn't even put on my belt this morning. That's going to change in 2018. I guarantee you that. But I not only want you to make your personal resolutions. I want us as a church to make just one goal a priority. And I'm talking about this in the newsletter article. And I want us as a church to make spiritual growth a goal in the church. Okay? Growing closer to the Lord. Begin with yourself. Begin with, okay, what do I need to do in order to grow in my relationship with the Lord? And then also outwardly as a church, what do we need to do as a church to grow outwardly? Okay? But let's get practical. You know, we as brethren are really into service and doing good deeds for others, as the Bible tells us in James 2:17. Faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. And so in your bulletin inserts this morning, I want us to all get those out. And you'll see at the bottom, there are Christmas projects through the year. And I took this from Charles Swindoll's devotional booklet. He tells us to do these Christmas projects as a daily gift. Christmas projects that can last through the new year. Now let's look at some of them that you can do. Forgive an enemy. Be gentle and patient with an angry person. Listen. Speak kindly to a stranger. Read a poem or two to your mate or friend. Turn off the TV, or I put down, turn off the iPhone. This devotional was before the iPhone came around. Turn off the iPhone and talk. Do the dishes for the family. Pray for someone who helped you when you hurt. Fix breakfast on Saturday morning. Give your teacher a break and be especially cooperative. Chuck Swindoll says, let's make Christmas one long extended gift of ourselves to others, unselfishly, without announcement or obligation or reservation or hypocrisy. This is Christianity. So just take that with you. Pray over it. See where the Lord wants you to make a contribution to someone. And as you can tell, these gifts don't require much money or effort. It's just one of those little things that make a difference in someone's life. Now, when it comes to picking which one you choose, do something that lines up with your gift. For example, I'm not going to fix breakfast on Saturday morning. I'm not, that is not my gift. If I fix breakfast Saturday morning, it's going to be a disaster. So I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm not going to do that for you. You're going to do that.
But you can buy me breakfast.
I can buy her breakfast. There she goes. I can buy her breakfast. But that's why I eat cereal every morning. It's nicer. You know, cereal's great in the morning. But I can do one thing. I can turn off the TV and sacrifice a football game or two. But it's just not the bowl games, okay? The bowl games are, you know. But we got to do that. We got to turn off the TV sometimes and spend time with family. The thing we need to remember is that we don't have to give the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, the valuable gifts. We can give those gifts that are meaningful and practical, and they'll go a long way, more than we realize. But let's not forget why we are given these gifts. It points us to Jesus. It leads us to Jesus. Let's be obedient to our Lord as we begin the new year and see where the Holy Spirit will lead us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the season of Christmas, the gift of Christmas. We thank you this morning, Lord, for these youth who were leading in worship. And help us to remember, Lord, that worshiping you does not point to ourselves. It points to Jesus. It points to how we need a Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for that greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ in our lives. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing our closing song, Heart of Worship. Thank you. Before I have the benediction, just a few announcements. Reminder for tomorrow, there is a free community meal here at church in the youth zone at 11 o'clock, right? Yes. 11 o'clock downstairs. So we invite all of you to come to that. Also, I forgot to mention this too. Remember, next Sunday we're having a candle lighting memorial service next Sunday, so we hope that you can make it. And also, reminder that beginning next Sunday we're going to have a prayer list. So put in their names of anybody that you want, give them to Tony or myself for a prayer list. Our benediction is taken from Numbers chapter 6. Verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.